listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, June 18th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, and good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here. You know, we are fast upon the beginning of summer.
We are. And, you know, good time as I need to pause for. When is the summer solstice?
It's 21st Saturday.
Hey, there we go. Going right on.
Yeah,
looking forward to it, and thank you so much for being here with me. And so happy to have those that take the time to join us live. We appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We will, as always, we will begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, you know, we were planning on having Dr. Mike join us live tonight, but he's actually getting over a case of COVID. So he is taking a leave for tonight, but I think we can come up with some interesting stuff to talk about. Anywho, what do you say?
Of course we can. We always find something to talk about. You know, I've been doing a little research, you know, and it was kind of prompted. It got me thinking a couple of weeks ago when I made a comment of, you know, bless his heart whenever I talk about dead people. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then I was told in places like the U.S. that's kind of a derogatory kind of statement.
Well, it's more, you know, like it's become one of those things where – yeah, yeah. It's a thing where basically, you know, especially in the South, people don't want to be mean to your face. So they say something that's very patronizing and, you know, yeah. They'll say, well, bless your heart, you know, either meaning you're stupid or it's just a nephew. But
yeah, I got thinking about how many sayings now which have become contemporary, which have completely different meanings if you look at their origin. And then I got thinking, Michael, of nursery rhymes. Because that was a pet peeve of mine when I was raising kids. And not, like, I want, before I taught my kids nursery rhymes, I wanted to know what they meant. Because there's a lot of things that I grew up with that I found out later, that's just not cool. You know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo was one of them. You know, all these different sayings, and you find out they're, not cool by their original meaning. And now how many terms now can't be used? Like if you're going to talk about mentally challenged people, we had different terminology for that. And now we have to use these politically correct terms. But I just thought for the fun of it, I researched this out of an old BBC article from 2015. So bear with me. I'm going to educate you about nursery rhymes. Because it's kind of fun. You know that bad, bad black sheep, Michael?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I've been talking. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like fun. And yeah, I have heard of that.
Yeah, well, that happens to be about the medieval wool tax, where, you know, the guy who harvested it would have to give 1/3 of it to the landowner, 1/3 of it to the king, and he got to keep a third for himself.
Mm, yeah.
Ring Around the Rosies.
Yep, I know that one.
The 1665 Great Bubonic Plague. Mm-hmm. Rockabye Baby. Now, that's an interesting one.
Oh, I do not know any history of that one. That's going to be good.
So, it refers to, and I'll just read this verbatim here for a sec, refers to events preceding the Glorious Revolution. The baby in question is supposed to be the son of King James II, widely believed to be another man's child smuggled into the birthing room because they wanted to make sure he had an heir. kind of funny. Mary, Mary, quite contrary.
Mary, Queen of Scots.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It says here, she was the daughter, of course, of King Henry VIII, and concerns the torture and murder of Protestants, and she, murdered hundreds and hundreds of Protestants.
So what's our newest federal holiday?
And buried them all. And Silva, mm-hmm. like that's what the garden was a reference to, of all the graveyards. And the silver bells with thumb screws, while the cockle shells are believed to be instruments of torture.
Yeah.
and I mean, yikes.
Well, and unfortunately back then, I mean, this is in the same era as This is in the same era as the 30 Years' War and all of that between the Protestants and Catholics, and both sides got into some pretty gnarly stuff there. It got bad.
Lady Bird, is also about the 16th century Catholics in Protestant England and the priests who were burned at the stake. at Wakefield Prison in England, where female inmates had to exercise around the mulberry tree in prison. Uh-huh. Pop Goes the Weasel.
Mm.
Reveals itself to be, in fact, about poverty, pawnbroking, and minimum wage, and hitting Eagle Tavern on London City roads. You know, there's another one. Mm. London Bridge is Falling Down.
Yeah.
That was the Vikings hitting a bridge. Yeah, I think it was in 1014 AD, because I'm not reading it right now. It's from memory. But they had to sacrifice a child for it, in this case a female child. So the sacrifice before they hit the bridge. Oh, well, you know,
I didn't know about the sacrifice, but I do know that they collapsed it to keep them from crossing the Thames.
Yeah, but part of the whole thing is they sacrificed.
I'm going to take your word on that.
Jerry in the chat is saying, itsy bitsy spider. Oh, I've got a... I gotta look that up. Itsy bitsy spider. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these nursery rhymes, they come to us from an era before the printing press, right? And a lot of things were communicated via song. And when you read about the, Irish movement for independence and the revolution that they had, this was during Queen Victoria's time in the 1800s, they would ban the use of music and song or wearing the color green in Ireland, punishable by hanging if anybody was caught doing any of these things, because music and song were used to spread ideas of the revolution against England. So all these rhymes and nursery rhymes and things that have, stayed with us through time, they come from an era where that's how people communicated information.
Yeah, and it's bonkers. Okay, I looked up one of the meanings for the itsy bitsy spider was a reference to the dangers of a person getting drunk and trying to climb on board a train.
But that was surprising.
It also references, here's another one, links the spider's climb to the struggles of the working class and the water spout representing the elusive American dream.
Mm.
Kind of makes sense.
it depends on what your American dream is. If it's to make, it's not localized to America, but this idea that to be a success you have to make it rich, I know this is off topic, that's not a dream. I mean, that's somebody, maybe their goal, but I mean, for me, a dream is I have my house, I have my dogs, I have good friends, family, and people I love in my life. I don't need or want anything more than that.
It's just the politics, Michael.
Well,
and the working class. It's not, you know, lower middle class.
Yeah, trust me, I know plenty about the working class. I've existed in this country in the working class for a very long time. Yeah. But,
well, the middle class is fast evaporated. So
I know.
You know, I'm just saying all these, it was really important to me in my life to know where that came from. I wanted to know who started that, you know, where did that come from? And so it kind of is, you know, embedded in my brain.
Yeah.
But as the culture has changed and there's so many things, like to me, it's just so out of whack because I don't know what people mean anymore. And then the assumptions of meanings of things with a contemporary meaning that, oh, I never thought about that because my brain doesn't go there. And so it's really difficult to communicate now without being very specific to ask questions.
You know, by the way, first off, to add to my list of good things in life, Howard in the chat said, you also need good food and wine. I'll attest to that. And cheese, Donna?
Yeah.
Good addition. Absolutely. Audra's throwing in that the Itsy Bitsy Spider story sounds like her old friends hopping trains and drinking whiskey. That actually makes me think of American Pie, but drinking whiskey and rye. But, you know, I will... I'm off track. I'm trying to keep my dog under my desk away from the cords. He just won't scooch. And I'm trying to keep up with Chad. And I had a point, but it will probably come back to me. But please go on.
Yeah. So I think that it's, you know, generational education has something to do with it, but it also means if you're curious, you want to know. I have been scolded by my kids on many things that I have said flippantly without thought. You know, and, oh, the implication now is that is this, or that's racist, or that's a derogatory term. And I said, it is.
Yeah.
You know? And I know my oldest daughter is a director of a program called Joining Hands. And these are, there's a politically correct term that slips my mind at the moment, but these are mentally and physically challenged adults. So she teaches these art classes. And, you know, and I've met a lot of them. And it's not, you know, how even to say mentally challenged, I'm not allowed to say that.
Well, it's because everything becomes a slur. I mean, I never, until, you know, relatively recently, the last several years, but growing up, I never knew that moron was the old term for mentally challenged people.
And you can't say that anymore.
And was replaced by the R word, which was then replaced by mentally challenged, which was now replaced by, I'm not entirely sure what it is currently, but the entire idea is, and I get it, I'm very sympathetic, I don't want people to be stigmatized, but the human condition is, one thing that I constantly try to point out to people is, I understand use of proper language, I understand using language that's going to reach your audience and being considerate, but you will not change the human condition. Whatever word comes after it will then be the next taboo word, and then again and again and again into perpetuity. But what I was going to say, and this is what kind of set my mind, context is king. You know, we were talking about things earlier today and
absolutely
all of the different, you know, uses things can get, but I will say that, it's, you know, you go back 100 years, and usage is vastly different than it is today. In the current era, different people assign meaning, weighting, emotional resonance with words than other people in their same generation. Language is a very clunky thing. Words are a very clunky thing to express the complexity of human thought.
And so, the English language.
Well, not just English, but yeah.
Jeez.
I mean... The fact that words at all, the fact that you emit a noise and it has some kind of intrinsic thought to it, is the fact that we can communicate as well as we do is remarkable, to be frank.
It is.
I agree. My point is also this, and, you know, you can talk about it, you know, 100 years ago people said things like this, and yeah, language changes over time, but the context of people when they write, if you're looking back in all these TikTok videos and all these YouTube videos that show you a hidden truth and have, you know, dramatic music and they talk about something from the ancient times, the problem is they don't understand the context of ancient times. You know, when writers write, they write for the present tense. The language they use, the things they write about, the assumptions they make. Assumptions are a big part of communication. Think about it. When you say something, you're assuming that that the audience is going to understand the context and parameters in which you're saying it. You know, like the book of Revelation gets brought up a lot by all kinds of folk. And, you know, one of the most fascinating things I heard and read about was the idea that it was, yes, for Christians at the time, but it was mostly a political pamphlet against the ruling Roman Empire and the perceived injustices. Mm-hmm. Not meaning to be in prophetic, per se, but a way to make a statement against the ruling power without, you know, getting your head lopped off.
I agree. Just so my brain can say this before I forget, I did look it up. It's now called Diverse and Different Differing Abilities.
Ah.
So people with diversities, which in my world, and again, I'm old school, in my world, that could mean a whole bunch of things from autism to I'm dyslexic, you know. I mean, it just could mean a whole bunch of things, but mm-hmm. they're very specific in what now is diverse.
Right.
But diverse, I mean, and I'm not going to get political here. I'm not meaning to. But when the United States is trying to take DEI out, that's diversity. And so people with, you know, diverse abilities, okay, maybe you're qualifying the word diverse, but I get lost.
Yeah.
I truly start to get lost in that. And it's how we each have a responsibility to try to communicate as best as we can.
Right.
That being said, I've had, and of course, I've been doing readings, Michael, for people for over 50 years, and I am very careful to articulate what I say, but how people play that back to me, paraphrasing, and how they understood that, it blows my mind.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason. I mean, I assume that that kids in elementary school in Canada also play the telephone game.
Telephone game?
Okay.
I don't know.
The telephone game is it's a practice done usually in elementary school early on, like second, third grade, and the entire exercise is this. You get all the class to stand around in a big circle. The teacher goes over to the first student in this, well, kind of semicircle. They whisper a word in their ear or a phrase or a sentence, right? Then the kid whispers it to the next kid, the next kid, the next kid, the next kid until they get to the end. And the teacher asks, okay, what was the message? And it usually tends to be wildly different than it originated as because of little changes here, little changes here, little changes here, little changes here. And that is, they tell you, I think about, you know, be careful of believing in rumors. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't believe everything you hear, right? And that is the telephone game. And that's something that we do in American schools, and it's very common in culture. But that's use it as an example, right? You know, when people want to say, well, don't believe everything you hear, or when somebody you get secondhand information, you can say, I remember the telephone game, and, you know, people kind of know what that means. It is a tricky thing, you know.
It is
Howard
a tricky thing.
Has a good point. We should practice telepathy. I'm going to get right on that. And that's somehow I knew you were going to say it, so I think I'm already there.
I mean, I have been surprised when, well, you just said this. I said, no, I didn't. What I said was, and I could say that back verbatim, and I said, but let me tell you another way. I had a client the other day, very curious about the man she's seeing, and I told her honestly, culturally I don't think it's going to work out and otherwise, but that's also my intuition, and I had already said that there's going to be some struggles. And then, but the next guy you meet, well, then next and then that, because she doesn't want to be alone, she's very anxious to get married, okay, understandable. And then in the next breath, well, should I get this, because if I move to these other provinces, you know, I need this extra training. I said, well, I don't know. I see your life happening right where you are. Why don't you wait and just see where life takes you? You know, new man, new life. And 'cause she wants it all, and she wants it all right now. And then when I said, well, if it turns out you get married and the two of you want to move to a different province, different rules, go back to school. He can support
right.
you.
Right.
She lost it. She lost it.
Well, that's not good.
She was mad.
Jeez.
I will never let that happen. And so I had to now have a talk about partnership with her, you know, and it would be an agreement. But she'd be willing to help him, but he can't help her. And my brain starts to fry, honestly, because we're talking in circles. We're trying to map out, get guarantees. I can't give you guarantees. I just said, it's your choice. You know, I've told you. Well, I thought the cards would say something different.
yeah, preconceived. Think about that. Having a preconceived idea and looking for something to support it instead of using reality to create ideas.
And that was the thing, and it exemplifies, you know, what we're talking about here. Because we've lost, and I think somewhere social media has really messed us up too. Because a lot of people can say things and there's no backlash. Right?
Well, no. Not only is there no backlash, there is a societal incentive to both be outraged and express your outrage. You get a dopamine hit every time you get that like. And what gets the most like? What gets the most clicks? Outrage.
Yeah.
You know? So it is a... And, you know, there's an author, Jason Pargan. He is, you know, well-known on social media. He puts these videos out. I've shared some of them on Facebook if anybody follows me. But he had one that I'm going to share later. But it's about the idea that, you know, sometimes people are shocked when they hear that in Hollywood that major studios are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on movies. And they'll start production without even a finished script. And he's like, well, how can, you know, people are amazed by this. How can they, you know, start working on something without having an idea about, like, a map on what to do? And then he goes on to point out that the movie Iron Man from 2008 was, you know, barely had a script, and it was kept being changed, and it became a massive hit, launched a financially immense franchise that I personally love. But, you know, the idea, and he continues on, and he says, and, you know, you think about, you look at something in the world, you look at a city, you look at a system, you look how things are built, how society is built, and you say, well, who designed it that way? And he said the answer is nobody. Nobody designed it. We all just kind of cobble things together in life, and that's the point. We are all existing in this life without a script. We are just making things up as we go along. So when you look at a city and you're like, why does Boston have streets like that? Because they made it up as they went along. They didn't have a plan or an outline. You know, it's the same thing with all kinds of things. Why does the company run this way? Why does this happen this way? Because they didn't think about it. They were building it as they went, and sometimes it works out really well, and sometimes it doesn't.
You know, there was years ago, when I got my first ISBN number from a book I'd written, and we're talking a long time ago, Michael, and there was only one company out of Down East that would give ISBNs. And it was, once you registered with the National Library, then you had to go to this company. And I said, well, how come there's only one company? And the barcodes. And, well, that's the way it was. You know, so you get your ISBN, then you get your barcode from one company, and they had a monopoly on this. I said, well, why does it work that way? Like, and, of course, now barcodes you can get barcodes online for God's sakes. So,
right.
But, again, it just wasn't there. And so it evolves. Everything does evolve. But... I don't know. It's things. I'm going to share a personal story of how things can get, like the interpretations of things can get messed up. Back in the very early 90s, my ex-husband stopped paying child support when my oldest turned 18. Well, we had an agreement, and it's very common in family law to write, he shall pay this amount insofar as the child turns 18, comma, is in school, comma, leaves home, comma, all those commas. Well, I decided I would represent myself because I'm kind of brilliant in these things. Did all my research. I knew some lawyers and some other people in the justice system. So I represent myself. Well, he convinced the judge that the way it's written, you could put a period behind each of those words. And that then it's their choice. So when she turned 18, she's still in school. Oh, well.
Yeah.
And now I had lawyers tell me you should challenge this, appeal it. Well, I didn't have the money to do that and the wherewithal. But one thing I wanted to know from the other lawyer and the judge, does this then also apply to the second daughter? Because there was no reference to that. They were going to charge me in contempt. The judge was mad. Everybody's mad at me. Well, I mean, that's when I dug my heels in. You've given this ruling for the oldest child. I want to know if that also holds true for the second child. And, of course, then they did hold that true, and the judge made an order on that. So, I mean, so when I take it to these other family lawyers I know, they were gobsmacked because it set a precedent in family law. So there's a difference between letter of law versus common law understandings. And then there's interpretations of words.
Yep.
And this is where a court, a judge in the judicial system can interpret those words how he or she understands the letter of law. It is so messed up that, I mean, what is truthful? You know, when you, this again, you know, we live in this ever-changing, breathing society of, you know, you can build on and change and laws and bylaws and not in my community, you can't have that. And then you've got stratas or little, you know, condo associations and, you know, everybody wants to make their own rules. And then it's the interpretation of whatever rules that you're making. Well, you don't like those rules, go to the Supreme Court. You know, Supreme Court's going to have their own interpretation. So,
and the Supreme Court changes their mind.
Exactly. And this is where we've lost something. And we have to, and this is where, to me, to talk about it today, is that we have to exercise caution. And, I mean,
maybe a little grace.
If you know that something is blatantly wrong, do your best to call it out, or just say, if you think 2 + 2 = 5, knock yourself out and I'm going the other way. You know, because at some point there is no discussion, but if it's a matter of principle, you know. But again, even something as silly as nursery rhymes, well, I couldn't keep my kids away from nursery rhymes. They'd go to school, they'd go to, you know, childcare, and they're going to learn that stuff. But then I take it upon myself, do you know what that means? Do you know the history? And I started having fun with it because my kids would go back to their teachers and say, did you know what this means? So life is just that kind of a challenge and trying to stay on top of things. And at some point I just say, beats me, I have no idea. I don't know. But I think it's when we're always constantly having to explain ourselves, you know, it's a tough one.
It's tough. But, you know, I don't know.
But it's educational.
Yeah, it is. And I'm somebody that I appreciate the importance of semantics and language. You know, I had this conversation with my father earlier, you know, in the modern context, when you say somebody is entitled, they are acting entitled, you know, that's kind of a negative thing. They act like they deserve something they don't deserve, right? They're entitled to it.
Yeah.
Didn't mean that back in the day. It just meant, hey, I am entitled to this. I put money into it. I get, you know, I am entitled to get my like Social Security or something, even though I'm, you know, Paul Strada hat. But things change, and that's where, you know, kind of the concept came from, you know, especially people that like to plug into, let's, you know, like religion, right? They like to say, okay, this passage that was written and rewritten and rewritten and rewritten and rewritten, you know, over and over and over again, they want to give it meaning, but they don't understand the original context in which it was written. You know, and a lot of things are lost in translation. You know, if, I'm using an if, there was a Jesus, apparently he had quite the sense of humor because he uses sarcasm a lot, and a lot of it's lost in the later translations because the context is missing. Yeah. But, you know, so context is king, I guess would be my main takeaway.
I agree. Yeah. Well, you know, I've enjoyed this conversation. I know it's not quite what we'd hope for Dr. Mike, but we will have him back. Mm-hmm. We really will.
We will.
I know Aaliyah has asked, I know because you put it in the chat, Aaliyah's asking what are cards. Michael pulls a self-discovery inner oracle card, made from by Dr. Kelly. Mm-hmm. And I pull a supporting tarot card, and we see what we got as a little message. And so I think we'll pull some names, and I think Dr. Jerry is first.
Absolutely. Dr. Jerry, glad to have you. Yep. All right, making sure I'm not muted. Dr. Jerry, glad to have you with us. And for you, I have... All right, we have number two, esteem and validation. It's been a bit since we pulled this one. All right, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is what others think. Excuse me. Trying not to cough into the mic here. Excuse me. What others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. And excuse me one moment, I have to mute so I can cough.
That's all right. Esteem and validation is a really good one. And just so you know, I have a supporting card of the sun. That's a really good one, Jerry. A new life, new awakening into another. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, how old we get. We're always having revelations, some new other kind of awakening. But another certainty for yourself in opening new doors. So I like that. That's great. So we do have Donna next, if Michael's okay now.
I'm surviving. albuterol makes the pain go away.
I've been working outside, and of course my cat, and I'm having to take more antihistamines. It's crazy.
Second puff.
My eyes water. Yeah. So.
All right, I was saying I had to take a second puff. I had a coughing fit, and that I have asthma. I had pneumonia really bad when I was a kid, and it kind of left me with asthma. So it kind of gave me a little attack there. Sorry. It came out of nowhere. All right. You said we have Donna next?
We have Donna next.
All right. Let's see. Donna, for you, number 16, continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity in the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so a new chapter can begin.
The Ace of Spades, or the Ace of Swords. I think that's really a take charge kind of message for you, Donna. The continuity of life is, you know, there's always challenges. We always have challenges in life of some kind. Yeah, you go outside and it's a challenge. So, but the continuity of life with the Ace of Spades is, I'm going to say that you may have conquered something and now you're into a new flow. Remember, with every decision we make, a new frequency of energy is created. And I think that's what's happening to you. So it's really positive. I mean, it doesn't get any more powerful than that. So good on you. I hope it makes sense.
Good stuff.
We have Kevin next.
All right, Dr. Kevin, for you, I have number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Good card.
It is a good card. And I got the Three of Clubs. Three of Wands to support that, Kevin. There might have been some minor changes in the direction, and I think it's positive ones. So it's just asking of you, be open-minded and see the future changing before your eyes. You know, we've been talking tonight about adapting and how we're an ever-changing kind of world. Mm-hmm. But this is like, be open-minded for what's coming, because these are things that are adding to what you do in your life. It just may not look exactly like you thought it might, but it's still very positive. So, very cool. We have Howard next.
Howard, for you, I have a wild card. Wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
Ooh, you might be having a moment in life, Howard, with blocks. The first card I pulled was the Devil. No, don't take that literally. That's the place where black and white collide. You know, a little conflict, confusion. So I said, well, what is that? Well, according to this, I pulled another one to support that. It's a Two of Swords. The Two of Spades is, you got to use your radar. It's what I call one of the intuition cards. It's like making decisions. You might be reevaluating, saying, what do I do? You know, which way do I go? And when you follow your gut, we all feel that in our umbilical cord first. Everything is that gut feeling. No matter how you process information, it's that gut feeling. So it's, that's what I'm going to say to you, is follow that. Sometimes you just take a break, like Block says. Sometimes you just sit still for a second, and what comes to you. I really feel all is well in your world. Don't get me wrong. But we all have moments of a bit of anxiety or panic, saying, oh, what now? You know, what do I do? And so I just want to say, breathe and let your intuition guide you. And all is going to be fine. So hang in there. I know, yeah. Howard just put in there, intuition is always something that should be taken seriously. And this is just a moment for you. So it could be, he said, yes, he is having a moment, and the Devil card's absolutely correct. Thanks for sharing that. You know, when I get these kinds of messages here and these cards come up, I know they're not in your face negative. There's an interpretation. And how does that fundamentally apply to somebody's life? And so, you know, it's then we can't see it for ourselves sometimes. You know, pulling my own cards is like, it's almost a waste of time. It's hard to be very objective. So when you can see it for somebody else, it's clearer. And I want to say thank you to Kevin as well. He's made a comment in the chat that is an affirmation to his card. So yes, there's absolutely progress, Kevin, so hang in there. Okay, we have Dr. Jeff next, Michael.
All right, Dr. Jeff. All right, I have for you tonight, oop, have the book. Give me un momento, por favor. All right.
He speaks Spanish.
Yeah. Poquito. All right. I have for you number 44, attitude over disposition. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Oh, I got the Five of Clubs for you, Jeff. That Five of Wands, Five of Clubs is little bits of celebration. You know, even sometimes it's the small stuff that you have to celebrate. So attitude and disposition, I'm certainly not going to lecture you about gratitude or, you know, challenges or anything like that. Nobody knows that better than Jeff. But it is about honoring the small stuff in life, because things are going in your direction. It may just not be as fast as you'd like it to be or as big, but it's coming. Take those little wins as you go as significant in the direction that you're going. So we do have Aaliyah next, and I put Aaliyah in there. She asked later, but I put her in there because she'd asked about cards. Did I miss something? So,
oh, gotcha.
I have, and welcome, Aaliyah. She says this is her first time here.
Yeah. So, at least in live chat. I think I took it to be maybe you've listened to us in the archive before, but either which way, happy to have you. And yes, you get a wild card tonight. You get wild card number 5, Don't Hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to yourself and others. So hopefully that means something to you. I always say, I am not intuitive. I have nothing. I pull a card and we look through the guidebook, and it's, you know, hopefully it makes you think, but I always love having you here, Dr. Vicky. It always makes it interesting, and I love those that intuition you hit so often. Remarkable.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks for saying that, Michael. But for Aaliyah, the Don't Hate with the 7 of Cups or the 7 of Hearts, and I'm going to take this to, what are you dreaming? Like, what you have a dream that you want to come true. You want to make something to come to fruition, but, you know, it's frustrating. And it's just saying here, rather than anger, put that into, and you want to be angry for 10 minutes, go ahead, but channel that energy into making things happen for yourself, because this is all about, you know, dispelling illusions, creating new dreams, and never mind about the stuff that you think is in your way. Sometimes, you know, I always say this, many ways to get to Walmart. You don't always have to take the straight route. If intuition is telling you go around or take a side road, you know, do that. And she said, yeah, it is. Thank you for that. So, I mean, I want to say hang in there. Keep dreaming. Keep going. So good. Wendy has said she's having technical difficulties tonight, but she's going to catch up. And Wendy's our card keeper. She keeps track of everything. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And she'll catch up with us next week. So thanks, Wendy. I just wanted to say that.
I'm glad you did. Absolutely agree. All right. All now, right. I think we have Jackie next, if I'm not mistaken.
We do.
All right,
I
Jackie.
Do have that.
I have for you number 45, Inspiration, Motivation. And I don't think we pulled this one in a minute either.
No.
Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration, leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
I have the 6 of Diamonds for you, 6 of Pentacles. Ah, Jackie, inspiration, motivation. This has to do with work, career, finances. You might be inspired to look in a new direction. It's interesting, that's what comes to me. Or look for a new position. And I see looking around. And the funny thing, emotionally I'm getting this, you're finally ready to take on that something else. So I hope that makes sense. It's just that feeling of something else is going to bring you more money, put you up the ladder, and you're ready for that. You may not have been ready a year ago or didn't have the confidence a year ago or 2 years ago, but you're ready now, Jackie. You know, so it's looking for those other ways to increase your income and up your game a little bit. I think very exciting.
I like it. Good stuff.
Of course, we have Audra.
Audra, always love having you. I'm not going to mess with you tonight. To new listeners, Audra used to say, if there's time, can I have one? I always mess with her and say, well, we don't have time for Audra, but it's
enough.
I like longstanding running jokes. But Audra, so happy to have you with us tonight. You get number 29, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
I got the Page of Diamonds, Page of Pentacles. Pay it forward has to do a bit with finance, perhaps. Talking about money. Interesting. I'm not telling you to give somebody money. That's not what I'm saying. But it might be in the way of support in term. Maybe this is family in some way, or even by grocery cards, something like that, where it might cost you money, but you may be not giving them money. And it's that paying it forward. Because you already do that, Audra. But I get the feeling this is one that you might think no to and having to rethink it. And it might be, you know, it'll come back to you in the long run. That's what I think. So, yeah, and I again, who knows? Maybe it's something that's about to happen, not that it already has, Michael.
That's an interesting point, too.
Okay, I think our last card is Teresa.
Absolutely. And Teresa, I have for you, number 25, I'm all discombobulated after my asthma attack. The power of belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
The Eight of Diamonds, Eight of Pentacles. You know, that's apprenticeship. Generally speaking, it's like learning on the job. And there may be something here where it's a little bit outside of your wheelhouse, but you can learn it, you can do it. So I'd say, you know, honestly, I'm at an age where I don't want to learn anything more. But you know what? Then they change the cable thing, and then they change this, and I have to learn it anyway. And you know, it's not so bad. But here's something for you, Teresa, where believing in yourself and knowing that you're up for this, because it's going to bring you, in the long run, it's going to bring you more money, for sure. And so maybe a little bit of upgrading, or not just upgrading, but updating. Maybe that's what I want to say. That's a better word, updating. And that's good for you in the long run. So I find that very encouraging. It's an affirmation, too. So if you were struggling with something, well.
I like it.
She said, she's starting a new business venture. Absolutely. We'll believe in it.
Right on the money.
Yeah. Well, it's a learning curve. I feel really positive about it for you. That's good news. You know, I appreciate everybody here. I know I've said this, I'm a broken record, but the feedback is amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody who comes every week and sometimes tolerates us. Thankfully, Audra has said the good humor is part of why she appreciates this group. And for those who aren't able to come and join in the live chat, there is some humor here.
Every now and again.
So, you know, you have to have humor, you guys.
You do.
You really do. Brush off the hard stuff and know that you can get through it. You've been through stuff before. The world has a way of cycling around to whatever. And, you know, put your energy where you feel it's best served. and don't let them push you around. And again, I want to qualify that. Don't let other people and what's going on in the world change who you are.
Hmm.
Don't let them push you around.
Yeah. Don't let other, and that kind of lends itself to all that, you know, don't let other people's beliefs become your beliefs just for the sake of tribalism or something like that, you know, too. So.
Yeah, I know. I know. Being on the outside is my life story, Michael.
I know the feeling too, actually.
I don't want to say this to people. There's a time in my life when I was intimidated by things I didn't know or understand. And having spent a lot of time in, let's say, indigenous lodges, I was new to a lot of practices. I'm new to things. And it can be very intimidating. But when they say we're going to go in the dark lodge and the grandfathers are going to check you out, meaning the spirit world, you go, okay. And it comes back. And, and so when people say to me, you know, they challenge me, I say, oh, man, I've been challenged by the grandfathers in the dark lodges. You don't scare me. Check me out all you want. So, you know, but that's be who you are. Just know who you are. And it's not just of what you are. It's who you are. And if you know you are in good intent.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I can't be a warrior, because I can be. I prefer to find reconciliation, find the center ground, be educated, have civility, and make my choices based on that. But don't let people push you around.
Always good advice.
Be you.
Absolutely. And, you know, appreciate the things in this life that make it bearable, that make it lovable, that make it worth getting up every day. Hold on to those things, and I think we can weather any storm.
Yeah. Michael,
yeah,
I have to stop before we close the show. Audra just said what I told her about paying forward and even gift cards. She said, you're so on point. I'm planning to run a little contest at work to encourage better attendance at work, offering gift cards for their choice of place as a reward. That blew my mind.
I told
you. That's awesome.
I told you.
That blows my mind. I hope everybody has a great week.
Absolutely. Have a good week. Stay safe. And hold your loved ones tight. Enjoy this life. There is a lot still to be enjoyed. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.